We don't appreciate our veterans enough, and I vowed in my life that I'm, as long as I live, I'm going to make sure that we do that in every opportunity that we have. Also, is Officer Coffey, is he still up there? Is he out back? When you see our Batavia police officer here today, make sure you shake his hand and tell him thank you as well. Can we thank God for all of our police officers, firemen, first responders? We're so grateful for them. Lord, I just want to say thank you today for your love. I want to say thank you for, God, just your presence here in our lives today. I pray life and encouragement to every single person in this house today. I pray that you would encourage, you'd lift up, Lord, you'd give people hope who feel hopeless. I pray that you give joy where people feel down and depressed. I pray that you'll bring peace, Lord, where those who are dealing with a raging time in their life. I just give you praise for these next few moments together. Let your word change our lives and change our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. My son Ryan is in Hornell this morning speaking for Pastor Matt Sassano. I'm so proud of him for following God's call on his life and doing that. I'm thankful this morning for each and every one of you. This thought came to me several weeks ago just about the very fact of making careful decisions on what you and I choose. Because in a world that we live in now where there's just so many opportunities for choices, it becomes more difficult to make the right choice. When I was growing up, our television, I think, had four channels. Anybody else remember those days? Or thank God you're not leaving me out here. Chris, you don't know nothing about those days. What are you talking about? We had the little rabbit ears. Anybody ever put the tinfoil on them thinking that was going to do? Yeah, come on. I got some tinfoil people with me today. Then you get the rabbit ears that had the dial on it. And if you dial it, you know, they made you think it. And if you had, listen, we had an antenna on the roof. Then when the wind came, it always blow it over. The rich people would have an antenna in their attic. How many rich people here do we have that had an antenna in their attic? Come on, don't be afraid. You had an antenna. No? There's one way up. Larry Toll. Of course he did. Probably had water running to it as well, didn't you? Little commode up there if you had to adjust it anyways. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't even know how many. You know, I've never had cable at our house. We live in the country. There's no cable. We have a satellite for television, but they're telling me, you know, the house that we're going to is going to have cable. And my oldest son is telling me, Dad, you're going to have all the cable. You're going to have Netflix. You're going to have Hula Hoop. Am I saying it? And he's going on. He's telling me, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. There's too many choices. I want either a hamburger or a cheeseburger. That's what I want. And there's so many. And so choice is, in its simplest form, it's the ability to make a decision when you have more than one possibility. This can be difficult sometimes. This can be challenging. Because at the end of the day, you and I are the sum total of the decisions that we make. Hear that now. This is so right. My PowerPoint man up in the sound booth, are you on that this morning? Wave your hand so I know you're up there. That's my boy Andrew up there running the show. Can we give Andrew a big God bless you today? Paulie went with Ryan, so I've got the best. You are the sum total of your decisions. We make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. Hear that right now. We make decisions, and then our decisions make us. If you've been married for a long time, you know. I know. I made the decision to marry my wife. My wife has helped make who I am, and she still is doing that on a regular basis. And that's not a bad thing. My gosh, if I hadn't married her, if I had married, listen to this, for some of you that are dating or thinking about getting married or want to or if I had married every woman that I thought I was going to marry, I'd be in the biggest trouble today. Thank God that when you submit your choices to the Lord, even when you don't feel like it, He gives you the right choice at the right time that will bless your life in the long term. Mary Kay Ash said, "Be careful of the choices you make today. They will become your lifestyle tomorrow." And sometimes we choose things under pressure. We make choices during emotional moments. Be careful of the choices that you make during those times. Never make a choice when you're angry. Never make a choice when you're emotionally caught up in something. Always pause. Always get help in those moments. I talked to somebody several days ago that I've known from a long time ago, and I said, how's your parents? And they said, well, parents are good, except they met somebody that told them that if they would give them all of the money that they had invested for the last 40-some 50 years, that they could double it in just a few months. Can I tell you something? If somebody comes up and tells you that, run. And they gave this person their money, and in just a few months, half of it was gone. You and I need help in the process of our decisions. The ability to choose what is best for our lives is always challenged by other things. There's always more than one decision to make at the time. But we need to have safeguards in place. And usually, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you that the safeguards that God brings to us are other people. People that have information, people that have knowledge, people that have wisdom, people that have made sometimes the mistake that you and I are beginning to make and can tell us, don't do it, I did it, and this is what happened to me. Come on, say amen to me this morning. And so that process is so important. You know, I was thinking about it early this morning in the first service Amanda was leading, and I was thinking about choices, and I was thinking about, you know, how sometimes, you know, as we're younger, we think we need some people with some age to help us make decisions. But can I also tell you, is that story I just told you about the parents that lost half of their life savings? When we get a little older, we need some people to speak into our lives as well, because we don't have all the answers. Now, I know for some of you, I'm 64. I know, you know, I've gained some knowledge. Some things I'm good at. Other things, you know what, I've made some decisions off the cuff. I told my oldest son a couple years ago, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. He looked at me, Ben. He said, Dad, if you buy a motorcycle and I see it in the driveway, I'm going to drive my truck over top of it. I said, now, why would you say that? He said, Dad, you don't need a motorcycle. And I'm thinking to myself, what's that kid know? I want a motorcycle. I'm going to get my motorcycle. And I went and I bought that. I didn't pray. I did ask my wife, and she was all for it. But then when I got it, she didn't want to ride it. Yeah, she had a broken foot, not because of the motorcycle. I'm out there riding that motorcycle one day. The weather's beautiful. Now, I know there's a lot of guys in here, women too, that ride motorcycles. God bless you. I'm out there. I'm riding that motorcycle. It's a beautiful day, clear blue sky, sun is shining. And I'm on it alone. And all of a sudden, this amazing moment came to my life. I'm out here alone. The blonde is sitting home alone. What is wrong with this picture? And I didn't even like it. And I got home and I was under conviction, because I left the blonde while I was out doing something that I made a decision on because I was emotional. I got up one day in April. I thought, I want a motorcycle. Oh, okay. And I acted on it. And I shouldn't have. I got up a few weeks ago. I wanted an Arby's beef and cheddar. I acted on it. It really wasn't good for me. And so the Lord, I thought, you know what? I'm going to sell. the motorcycle. And then I felt the Lord. That's the time when I said, I'm going to sell it. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to sell it. I want you to sell the money into the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what I did. But in the meantime, you and I have to learn to make choices with wisdom. And we need other people to help us. How many times have you made a decision in a moment of anger that afterwards you thought, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Remember me telling you the story, you know, just a couple months ago, I was having a day, and I'm up there, and I'm pulling off, I don't know what street it is up there, Wendy's is on one side, I did not go to Wendy's, but I got in the inside lane, and I thought, I'm going to go straight across, and I went straight across, and this guy behind me just starts laying on his horn, he's got his hand out the window, and I stop my car right in the middle of Court Street, I got out of it, and I go, what's up? And I'm wearing a shirt. It says in Hebrew, mighty warrior. And I'm standing out there, and I'm going, what's up? And the guy kind of shrinks down in his seat, and he says, you were supposed to turn there, and you went straight. And all of a sudden, conviction came right over me. I chose wrongly that day. I got in my car, and I just said to him, I'm so sorry. And I drove away. You cannot make decisions in the midst of you having a bad day. Because when they do, you will live that decision that you make. Come on, are you listening to me? So I just want to give you some help with some safeguards in your life that will help you and I move to our destiny. And when I was putting this together, let me tell you something. It touched and challenged my heart. Because I make a lot of decisions on a regular basis, and I have really come to a moment in my life where I know that I just can't do them on my own recklessly without having influence and input from other people that want to help me. She's okay, Tony. She's amen in me. So number one is we need to learn to pause in the middle of that. Proverbs 19:2 says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Come on, I tell every person that comes to me, a couple that says, we want to get married. I tell them, and invariably, 9 out of 10 times, they get mad at me thinking, I don't want them to get married. I tell them, go slow. Go slow. Oh, there's so much I want to say right there, right now. And they get mad at me, and some of them just say, well, you don't want us to get married. Yes, I do. I don't want you to make a fool out of yourself. And you know how many times people have just gone ahead and gotten married in just in a moment, and then they're in my office. I've had some that have been in my office a month later and say, well, that didn't work out. I should have listened to you. Go slow. Pause. There is no hurry. If somebody says, if you don't buy this today, this deal will be gone tomorrow, let it go. Let it go. Go slow. Whenever you have to make a decision, whether it's about a spouse, a job change, where to go to school, an investment. Maybe you're upset at somebody that did something to you and you're contemplating how you're going to retaliate. Can I tell you? You need to pause and invite God to give you some wisdom in that. And while you're pondering that, go to him and ask him for direction. James chapter 1 verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally and holds nothing back. 1 Kings 5:12, the Bible says that the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. Can I tell you, when you pause, when you ask for wisdom, God will bring peace to the turmoil that is in your life. And I'm speaking this to somebody, because I knew when I wrote this down that I was going to say that to somebody. You're mad at somebody. You're just upset in your heart. If things are just grinding on you. And you're thinking, how am I going to get them back? Can I tell you, the way to get them back is for you to let it go, give forgiveness, and move on with your own life. Move on. But pause. Choose the right way. Yield peace in your life and among those that maybe you're struggling with. God wants to give you victory over that. Number two, you got to learn to read his word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. When making the right decisions in our life, when you have a plethora of choices, the wisdom from God's word that is not irrelevant, it is relevant for the day you and I live in, will guide you, will help you, will give you direction that you need to have in that moment. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and not anything was made that wasn't made by Him. He in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word of God is true, and it's real. It'll be a guidepost. It'll be a help to you. If you'll read the Word, you'll study the Word. And if you're not doing that on a regular basis, and I'm so proud of Pastor Ryan for encouraging men and people, read the Word of God. Get the YouVersion app on your phone. Listen to it. Read it. Get it into your heart. Let me give you seven powers of God's Word. Number one, it'll give you the power to reveal. It'll always start with you, and then it'll reveal to you concerning other situations. Number two, it'll give you the power to refute. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed by God. Profitable for teaching, reproof, and correcting for training in righteousness. It'll help you to understand where you are. It'll be that guidepost. It'll give you, number three, the power to reproduce. Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. And when the seed goes into your heart, into an obedient heart, it produces blessings and favor that you won't only experience now in this time, but it will come generation after generation. I'm watching my oldest grandson play at Brockport State on Friday night. They were in the sectionals. I'm watching that little boy, and I'm thinking about where I was at 17 years old. What I was doing, and how through obedience, not always, I've made some major flub-ups, but I'm going to tell you something. God looks on your heart, and if you'll have a propensity to love Him and serve Him, He forgives you of your sin, and He will bless your life, not only your generation, but generations yet to come. And stop, you and I, living selfishly for what we can get out of God right now, when God wants to pour out His blessing upon generation and generation. Amen. Number four, it'll give you the power to redirect. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. When you read the Word, it will cause some of you to get back in the direction that you are called to go. Because sometimes we stray. Sometimes negative influences try to talk us out of the destiny that God has for our lives. And incidentally, if you want my notes, I know I'm going fast. I'm just fired up here a little this morning. PM@thecitychurch.com. PM@thecitychurch.com. I'll send them to you free of charge. PM@thecitychurch.com. What do you read? The Word will help you get back on course. It'll get you back on track. Because my brothers and my sisters, when you're off, all of the decisions you make are going to be jacked up. Hello? Is anybody with me on that? You know what I'm talking about? Number five, it'll give you the power to revive. Psalm 138:7, though I walk in the middle of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand, it delivers me. He'll revive you. When you read the Word of God, God will strengthen you. He'll give you victory in the midst of your enemies. He'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God will bless your life, and the people that are trying to harm you, they'll just go away. Hallelujah. Come on. The Word of God will do that. It will help you to make the right choice. And last, number seven, it'll give you the power to be ready. To be ready. When I got saved in the little Christian Missionary Alliance church, the preacher every Sunday, he'd always say, Jesus is coming. I just need to weave that into more messages. Jesus, He is coming again. I was thinking about that song, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but will be soon coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it shall be. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming again. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 40 that you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Making all these decisions. and all these choices. You don't even know that he's coming. Every choice that you make must be put against the fabric of Jesus coming back. Did you just hear that? Every decision that you make must go against the fabric of him coming back. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. If you're listening to some joker on the TV that's got all of the years and everything figured out and say, he's coming back this time, send me $500 to help me continue this message, you need to change the channel, turn that joker off, because the Bible says, everybody say, the Bible says. Come on, say it with some bombast. Say, the Bible says. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. Verse 37, but as we're in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. I remember this scripture when I was learning it first. I was still on the farm. I'd be out in the field. I'd be picking up rocks. I'd be picking them up next to Donnie, Leroy, and Charlie. I'm thinking, if Jesus comes, I'm the only one going. They're going to be left here in the field. That is supposed to be funny, but I guess you're not there. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, verse 42, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. And my brothers and my sisters, let me just pause on that. Some of you are letting things come into your house that you shouldn't let come in. Some of you are opening up the door to things that you know you should not let in. And if you were ready for Jesus coming, you would not do that. You would be on the alert at all times, because he could come at any moment. He could come at any moment. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect. And the Word of God will help you to make the choice to be ready. I got to say it like I learned it in the King James Version in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open up, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had the name written that no one knew but he himself. Oh, I feel God in this house right now. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Let me tell you something. He's coming again. He'll be here before you know it. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you and I must make the choice to be ready. Come on, church, give God a good praise. He's coming again. Use the Word to help you make your choice. What's God? What's His Word say about it? Number three, you got to learn to ask. You know, I told you when I bought that motorcycle, I didn't really ask God. I threw it out. God, you're okay with that, aren't you? Okay, I'm just going to go. And you know, the reality of it is, that was a simple. Some people are making choices that are having an effect on not only their lives, but the generation yet coming. I want to speak that into somebody's life this morning. It may feel good to you, but you need to back up and you need to ask God. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they will succeed. And when every feeling in you wants it, get some advice. Get some counsel from people that you know have the best interest for you in mind. Don't let your mind carry you off in some planet or some place of folly and fairy tale. Don't let your happy meter determine the decisions and the choices that you are going to make. Because my brothers and my sisters, you and I will become the choices that we make. And the difference between success and failure can be found in those who plan with or without counsel. You need to have the great people in your life. I make it a plan to have counsel and to speak to people. I don't know everything. I know very little. I'm not even a great pastor. You know, you have these preachers come in and they say all nice things to me. I'm like, okay, you don't know me. Ask my wife when I'm not around. I mean, I'm not the worst, but I need help. I fly across the country. I spend a day with Pastor Tommy Barnett, one of the greatest leaders in the world. And he spends the time with me. I make a decision to go and meet with Pastor Jerry Gillis of the chapel. I was with him 3 weeks ago. I spent 2.5 hours. I want to learn. I'm older than him, but he's brilliant. He's wise. Pastor Ron Bergio from Lovejoy Church, Pastor Ron Domina, Hector Santos. I need a prophetic utterance and word into my life. I need help from others. And you need that counsel from other people. Number four, you and I must learn to yield. You know, I just want to back up on that. Some of you have a struggle with that. You need to get over it. You need to get some wisdom from people around you. Newsflash. We don't know everything. Thank you for those two honest amens. I know that's striking some of you different today. Because there's some people I meet, they know everything. Well, if you know everything, why are you in the place that you're at? Get help. Ask other people. Get around people that love you and that care for you and care for your destiny. You're going to hear some things sometimes you don't want to hear. I didn't like when Benny said he was going to run over my motorcycle. I'm like, who are you talking to, the kid? I'm your father. He was right. Thank God he didn't run over it. Number four, you got to yield. Luke 22:42. Nevertheless, not my will, not what I always want. Doesn't have to be my way. Will you get that out of your mind? I'm going to do what I want when I want. Jesus modeled this for us. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but God, your will be done. He yielded his life to the purposes and the plans of God. He gave his life for you and I. Nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. He taught us, he modeled it, that when we yield our will to God, that he has the best in mind for us, even when we don't want to, even when we think it's difficult. And then lastly, you got to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Got to pray and believe God. When you pause, pray. When you read, pray. When you ask, pray. When you yield, pray. When you want to make the right and the best choice, pray. And ask God for the people in your life to help you to be everything that he's called you to be. Come on, do you receive that this morning? Come on, do you receive it this morning? We're going to make good choices. We're going to choose the right thing. We're going to be ready for God when he comes. We're going to trust his word. We're going to invite the right people in our lives. You know, that happens a lot of times when we get into the different groups that are happening at the church. The different studies, men's, women's, now an online study every Wednesday night. Youth, kids, we need our kids. We don't need to, you know, beat them up, tell them how to do things and what to do. We need to model it. Sometimes I've watched parents, they would come to me and say, you got to help me. You got to help me with my kid. This is going on. That's going on. They won't even serve God themselves. But they want their kids to walk in a different manner than they do. Can I tell you something? You got to model it. It's got to start with you and me. Has to begin there. Just close your eyes right now. Open your hands right on your lap. Just ask him, Lord, help me to make the choices that will be a blessing to my life, to my family, to my destiny. They'll help me to be and live to the best that you have called me to live. I want those that are going to help and pray to come down to the altar. Close in just a moment today. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, everything you do will be cloudy. It will be a challenge. You need to give your life to Him. How do I do that, Pastor Marty? I'm glad you asked me. It's not becoming religious or churchy or anything. It's having a relationship with Him. It's inviting Him into your heart and into your life. It's saying to Him, Lord, I need You. I come to You. It's taking responsibility before Him. Say, Lord, I've sinned. I've made a mess of things. And ask Him to forgive you. And then ask Him to come into your life. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved today. For some, this is your day, this is your moment, this is your time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you today, if you've never given your life to Christ, put your hand up high in the air. So I want to pray for you right where you're at this morning. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my master. Help me to make right choices. Today, I will begin to live for you for the rest of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray for those who prayed that for the first time. I pray for those who have been walking through a difficult season. Maybe they're living their life because of a negative choice. God, I know you're the God of, you can make new things happen out of old things. So I pray for a turnaround for their lives today. I pray strength, blessing, favor over every life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. I love you. Listen, if you gave your heart to Christ, if you ask Him to come in your heart, I want you to come down, tell somebody down here, I want to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come down, we'll give you one. If you need prayer for anything, let these folks pray with you. They've made some poor choices, but God has helped them to make good choices. And they'll pray for you. They won't condemn you. God loves you. I love you.